Hey, 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 this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sodell Concepts. Sodell Concepts is excited to open Thompson Island Brewing Company this fall, their 12th location. Thompson Island will be a 250-seat brew pub located off Route 1 next to Blue Coast Rehoboth. The brew pub will pay homage to the area and will feature an outdoor beer garden with fun activities at our beach. They're also excited to partner with Trogs Independent Brewing, which together they will feature award-winning craft beers. Their menu will feature amazing food crafted by Chef Doug Rooley, which will include local, fresh ingredients, wood-fired favorites that will pair perfectly with our beer. Follow along and stay up to date as Thompson Island Brewing Company comes to life. Make sure to follow them on Facebook at Thompson Island Brewing Company or at www.thompsonislandbrewing.com. Nice. Three, two, one. How many more minutes do we have for morning?
I don't know. I think probably about 24.
Good morning.
And some change. Good morning.
How are you?
Nice to see you. And nice to finally meet you face to face.
Nice to finally meet you face to face. Well, you've hidden your face for a long time.
I have. And as I said, the burger kind of wore out. After about 14 years, we had to do some major remodeling on it.
Well, I think that was a great shtick, right?
It was great. And it still works. And I still do it, even though the burger... Actually, no, we fed the burger to the photographer's dog after photo shoot. And she loved it. So there was no burgers were killed or wasted during that process.
Have you tried the not a burger burger?
I have. I tried it on the air. I was live on my show. Oh my God, it all blends into one show. It was probably about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago up at Gilligan's in Milton.
Okay.
And we were talking, and it was one of these live things where I go back and forth with the jock in Milford. And he started talking about the Impossible Burger
and the veggie-based burger.
And so, of course, Cheryl and Gary are sitting next to me at the table while I'm on the air, and we're talking, and there's all kinds of guests there, and we're having fun.
Is Cheryl and Gary the owners of Gilligan's?
They are the owners of Gilligan's, okay. Yes. And so I'm talking. Well, Cheryl gets up and just leaves the table, and I'm still talking. And Rob Sussman says, well, you know, have you tried it or not? I said, well, I don't know. Well, about 2 seconds later, clunk, right in front of me.
There it is.
The Impossible Burger. And so I got to taste it on the air.
How many hamburgers would you give it out of 10?
I would give it, in terms of tasting like a hamburger and not tasting like one of these horrific, you know, bean things or these turkey burgers that people overspice.
Right.
I would say I would give it probably an 8.
Not bad.
A 7.5 to an 8. The texture is not like fresh beef, and I don't think it ever will be because it is ground-up vegetables after all. I did taste a little bit of the peas and the beets. Not a bad thing.
Right.
Not a bad thing at all. But to try to fool somebody into thinking that it's a hamburger, it would not do that. But I would eat it in a second.
Well, and I don't think they're trying to trick you, right? They're just trying to give you an option.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is I mean... I mean, has the hamburger or, well, first of all, they don't even call a Whopper a hamburger. It's a Whopper sandwich, right?
I guess so.
It's not even considered a hamburger. It's a Whopper sandwich. I think McDonald's locked down the hamburger, right?
You know, I'm not aware of that. I don't know whether you could copyright or trademark the word hamburger.
Right.
That would be interesting. This is some research we need
this
to do,
some,
David.
This is some research we need. I didn't have you on to make you to create work for
you. No, it's fine. If I'm going to have to go on Google, you're going to have to press pause.
No, but it's not really serious. But the point was they've always been kind of accused of not really having meat in the first place.
That's
BS.
They?
So it's always
that's just standard anti-business BS. I see it every day.
I think there was some soy in the McDonald's burger
in the very very beginning. I'm not sure of that, but the fact that it's not meat and people eat soy every day, people spend extra money for soy milk.
Right.
So it's not like soy is going to kill you. But nowadays, and I'm actually very good friends with the owner of 18 McDonald's stores around here.
Is that Mike?
Actually, he's on my show, Mike Mioli,
in a couple weeks. He said he was coming on. He told me he would come on, and then I haven't heard
from him.
This
is a very busy man. It has taken me a couple of months just to nail down. Now, I finally nailed down a date, then I had to cancel it.
Oh.
So I have to start all over again. But they and of course, now, as you're probably aware, and this is the reason why he's on the show, is the Quarter Pounder is now fresh. It is not frozen any longer.
Okay.
Which has caused them, interestingly enough, it has caused them problems in that it takes longer to cook because it's thicker than the frozen product.
Right.
So they had to buy all new equipment. They have this grill that grills from the top and bottom at the same time.
Wow.
Not cheap.
No.
But they're fighting that now.
Well, and I went to Pathways for Success. They had their second annual, was it,
mm-hmm.
event over at Baywood, and I met Mike there.
Mm-hmm.
And, and obviously I'm not kind of a food-based podcast, but I do like, you know, he spoke at the thing, and he's like, I don't even know why I'm really here, you know. This is what I'm supposed to be doing anyway, which is helping other people, which I really like that message. I was curious to find out, you know, his business, his company, McDonald's, not his company, but his franchise company, mm-hmm. at McDonald's, you know, they provide a lot of jobs.
Oh.
And one
many,
of the
many
things,
hundreds of people work for him.
Right. But one of the things that's kind of going on is everything's going to automation.
For good reason. This nonsense about minimum wage, people don't think it through.
Right.
They don't understand that the same people that scream about minimum wage will scream in 2 seconds about prices going up.
Right.
Well, the two go hand in hand.
Well,
it's simple mathematics.
But the you know, McDonald's has always provided a lot of early employment for a lot of early people coming up in, you know, the workforce.
Back when it would fit into their cost structure.
Right.
But nowadays they're being forced by people who think they're doing people favors.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is the least employable segment of the population will not work.
Right.
Because any smart businessman, you own this salon.
Right.
You know, you're going to hire the very best operators you possibly can. If you have to pay them a little bit more, you probably will, because it's good.
And I don't hire anybody anymore. I do chair rental.
Oh, God, that's smart, man.
I won't work with anybody that doesn't have a little skin in the game.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
See, and you just made the point, having skin in the game.
Well, but I get that. I get that's where we're going. But, you know, I think that Mike's been proud of being able to employ a lot of young people early on. And my question was, how can you still, I mean, if everything ends up, and that's not, it's not Mike's fault. I'm not clearly
he's being
not blamed.
Forced.
Right.
He's being forced by do-gooders and a do-gooder government they are involving themselves in private industry and private business where they don't belong.
Well,
and when that happens, unfortunately, people suffer.
But I also think we're also coming into a time in our lives where everybody just wants the simplest, you know, the least amount of effort. You know, now, you know, probably 5 years from now, you just go on your phone,
mm-hmm.
type in your order, you'll pull up to the McDonald's, they'll have it.
You already can do that.
An arm will hand you your food.
You already can do that.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
You can, they have the system. And it was so funny. I said, do you mean that I can actually go on and order my order beforehand? And he goes, yes. I said, do I go to a special line? He goes, well, no, you still got to sit in the line. But when you get there, your food's ready.
Your food's ready.
And I thought, at McDonald's,
well,
who would have thought?
Taco Bell is doing it as well.
Yeah.
They have a kiosk. I haven't been to Wendy's.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, it's the way of the future. So I'm
Oh,
sure.
It's got to be.
So let's introduce you. Before we go half a podcast and I get yelled at by my corporate partner and says, you didn't even introduce your guest.
That's funny. That's one of the things they slapped my hands about early on at Delaware 105.9. They said, you have to say who you're talking to at the beginning and end of each segment. Because I'd get into it like we just did.
Yeah.
And they go, who the hell is he talking to? Who is that person?
Well, and I like to do it, especially, you know, and you probably know this. You'll talk to people some people have a little bit more of an agenda. So I definitely want to make sure that we identify who the people are and what we're doing. But
so you can distance yourself from me. And that's important.
I think you're great, but I don't think you have an agenda. What I like about you most is you don't have an agenda.
I don't have an agenda. My agenda was to retire, and I completely screwed that up. I made a mockery of retirement, David.
Well, you know, you did. You started enjoying what you were doing. And, you know, Matt used to say, if you do what you like to do, you'll never work another day in your life.
That's what he told me. Yeah, and he's right. And he started saying, did you come down here to retire? And when I knew him, I was writing the columns. I was doing this and that. I wasn't on the radio yet, you know, down here doing. I was doing it on and off in Ocean City. And he said, you don't have to do any of it, do you? I said, no, and that's why I like it.
Yeah.
We still haven't introduced me.
Welcome, the foodie.
I am happy to be here. And actually, you have to use my Christian name, Rehoboth Foodie.
I apologize.
Because there could be any foodie anywhere. You know?
The Rehoboth Foodie.
I'm just kidding you. You know that.
Well, and Bob Yesbeck?
Bob Yesbeck.
Nice to have you on, Bob. I really appreciate it. The Rehoboth Foodie, finally, we come together.
Took us long enough, didn't it?
I have a lot of complaints, Bob.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Not about you.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, it's funny, because we live in such a great area. We live in an area with so many great restaurants, on top of, like, you know, the McDonald's and all the, you know, the franchise stuff. But we live in a great place with a lot of great restaurants. But it's hard when you live here to enjoy them all because, you know, especially with a family, like I have family of five, you know, it's hard for me to hit up some of these nice restaurants. You know, just the
I mean, you can't
alone.
Be going to the back porch every night.
No.
With your family.
I can't go
well,
to the back.
Well, you can.
I can't go to the back porch at all. We go to our back porch.
You'd have to sell the corporate jet.
Right, exactly. You know. I need a corporate jet, Bob.
That's
do you have one?
No.
Okay, because if you did, I quit.
Yeah, unless you count my little car in the driveway. No.
That's a sweet, what is that, 450?
You know what? It's funny you say that. I had a 450, and I have dreamed about them for a long time. That happens to be a 560. Because it came in a color.
The
450 was slightly smaller.
Okay.
Slightly smaller. This 560 is a little bit bigger, has a slightly bigger engine. And I found this actually online, of all places.
Surprise.
And got a little bit of work done on it, but not much. And it drives like a dream. It's my play toy. I like it.
Well, I always, what was it? It's a great car, Mercedes 560.
560 SL. And actually, I parked next to you,
I
know.
It.
And you're driving, when I glanced at it, I thought it was the BMW X.
Yeah, no. I parked over there. I park on the street. I try to save all the good spots for the people that pay.
So the beautiful little tiny sports car right in front of your store is not yours?
No.
Oh,
I park over there with the commoners.
I would say I park over there with the.
I don't trust a business where the owner takes the best spot.
Well, I totally agree, and you shouldn't let the employees take the best spots either.
Nope.
No.
But I can't do anything about it because they're chair rental.
There you go, and so they're not really employees.
They're their own.
In
bosses.
A way, they're clients.
I don't know, but
that's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. I just try to save. I don't have a lot of. We share, you know, when I first came out here, when we first opened the salon, I called this the Island of Unwanted Toys. You know, I should have been in Rehoboth or I should have been in Lewis, but Painter's Mill is what I could afford. And you know what? And I've had Preston on. Preston was nice enough. And, you know, one of the cool things about this podcast, the reason I kind of started the podcast, one small business helping another, but, you know, it was to kind of say thank you. It started off as like I had Preston on. I said, you know, I just wanted to have you on the air and just tell you thank you. He took a chance on me. I really had nothing to show for it, just the desire. You know, Matt used to say, either open your own salon or shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And Preston, I remember when I had to meet with Preston, and Matt said, just let him talk.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. He's very smart.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. And
no,
just,
Preston's a good guy.
Preston's a great guy. And Preston came on the podcast, and he was on for an hour and 20 minutes, and we didn't even talk about houses once.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I really appreciate him coming on. I think that's why he appreciated coming on, because we didn't talk about houses. We talked about coffee, Firefly. He had a lot of funny stories. But I got the opportunity to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 10 years ago. And he goes, you know, you're the only person the only original person that's still here.
Yeah.
And
it's a merry-go-round in these buildings.
It's a merry-go-round.
But a lot of it has to do with poor management and poor ownership. I think the location is fine.
Great location.
I don't see any. You can even see it from the street. You see it. You have a nice sign at the front. But I think, unfortunately, it's just been a string of poorly trained or whatever
people. I call it ego.
Very good. Especially down at the end.
And we can talk Pilot Town. There was a, you know, there.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. And, you know, whatever.
People would write me, how come you haven't been out there yet? And I wanted to write back. I probably get about 100 emails a day. And so I kind of have to triage the ones. And I wanted to write back because it's not going to be there in 2 months.
Right.
I don't have time. I have 400 restaurants. And in 2 months, it was gone.
Right. And I was able to meet those guys. And honestly, you know, just as a human side, they were nice enough. Just nice enough human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Business-wise, you know, and I don't know a lot about business, so I won't comment on it, but I know that they're gone.
Yeah, are gone. And there's always a reason.
Well, and people like to blame the location. What I was going to say, kind of in my whole little story I was sharing with you, was that when I first came here, there wasn't much here. But now, you know, we have the old fathers. They got Motto Mortgage now. We got a new place that's getting ready to open called the Breakfast Nook.
Yeah, a little breakfast place.
Yep.
God.
A little family.
Uh-huh.
You know, that kind of goes back to McDonald's. I think initially in McDonald's, the beginning, you had to be a family, a husband and a wife, to own the franchise.
Well, no, Mike's father was a McDonald's owner.
Right, exactly.
You know? He just kind of inherited everything and then built on that.
So I love the idea of the family, the husband and wife, taking opening up the Breakfast Nook. And as soon as they're open, they're going to be on because I'm excited to meet them and support them. But the point of all that whole story is that our parking spots are getting to be limited. So I try to park out on the street.
That's where we came from on this,
isn't
it? Wow.
I need a bandana for the sweat pouring down my forehead.
We need to leave the parking spot discussion.
We're done with that.
Yes.
We parked.
Yes.
But, that's what happens. That's why I love podcasts. We start on one thing and we go down one path and then sometimes...
It never changes. I make a little scribble list before I go on the air of the things I want to cover. Any similarity between that and what actually ends up happening, because my guest, just like you say, my guest will say something and go, now, tell me more about that. Psh, the whole list goes straight to hell.
Yeah.
Because I have to cut for commercials. I have to cut for news. I have to cut for weather. And so I have very strict time requirements. And I'm thinking, well, there goes that segment.
Yep.
But it always ends up being interesting, and people are listening.
Well, and I don't take any notes. I don't do any research. I like just the conversation. You know, I'm a hairdresser. You know, that's what I do for a living. I have conversation, and then I cut a little hair in between. But, you know, this is what I do is chit-chat.
Mm-hmm.
So, food. You want to talk about food? What do you want to talk about, Bob?
You know, I don't really care. I thought maybe you would have a little list, but obviously you don't.
No.
I mean, I did something pretty much different from what I started out doing here back before I came here. I've been here 17 years. And over in Washington, D.C., I had a business that kept me busy, employed a lot of people.
What'd you do?
I had an audio-video production house.
Okay.
A big recording studio, which to this day still exists. I sold it in the early 90s. Ended up working there for 15 years. There were two segments of the business. One was a vocational school, and one was the actual recording studio production house. And the recording studio production house is most certainly a 24-hour job. It's very similar to restaurants.
Yeah.
So I ran the school side. I was director of the school, and I started the school in the late 70s, and it still exists. Does very well.
That's a cool. I always kind of wished I'd gone to like that kind of school, audio video school.
Yeah.
I always loved video.
Well, this school goes great. Check it out, the Omega Studios School of Applied Recording Arts and Sciences. They used to tease me and say it's the very longest name of a school that exists.
Can't you shrink that down a bit?
Well, I would. It's not my position
it's
to do it anymore. Thank you very much. And in the late 70s, I was lucky enough to get into radio a little bit. I bought a couple of radio stations and ran them for a while. Ran one that was on the air already and almost put another one on the air. We built it, created it, and then sold it before it went on the air, which is always a broadcaster's dream.
Yeah.
It was similar to what I was doing anyway. And I got to spend a little time on the air and have fun.
Yep.
But that wasn't why I did it. I did it because they were stations that were making money.
Yeah.
And one of them needed some major help, and I'm pretty good with applying for things and dealing with regulators and stuff. So, yeah, from the school side, you have no choice. But
that's why I like podcasting, because there's not really a lot of rules.
Yeah. Well, you're not broadcasting over the air.
No.
But it was a lot of fun. And after I sold the studio, most people... I always say this, and most people, when they get into midlife crisis, they buy a red Corvette.
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately did not. Do you know how many red Corvettes I could have bought after opening the restaurants?
A few.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah.
So I got into the restaurant business because I always loved it, and I had always written about it on and off, even when I owned the studio. I was kind of a stringer for the Washington Post. I was a stringer for the Gazette papers, not Cape Gazette here, but Gazette papers back in Washington. And... So I said, well, I think I'll do this. And it was a lot of fun. I got involved in three or four different operations. One of them I owned entirely. The others I was a partner in. Probably the most fun I had was a big supper club that I was able to be partners in down in Old Town Alexandria, right on the water, right on the Potomac River. Partners with Mick Fleetwood, of all people, from Fleetwood Mac.
Nice.
And there were four main partners, and so that was a lot of fun. It was a big deal, very much high.
What's a supper club?
A supper club is a place where there is music all the time, every night, and people come in and can eat during the music. And so you're eating supper, and it's a club. You know, nice. I think it's an old-time term. A lot of times, I mean, my band plays at a bunch of places where people sit and eat and look at us.
What's the name of your band?
Second Time Around.
I like that.
Because I did it back in D.C. the first time around.
See, the reason I didn't make any notes, well, I don't really make notes, but I'm going to give you a reason, because I didn't know anything about you. You know what I know about you? You hide behind a hamburger.
Yep, that's
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're the Rehoboth foodie. That's it.
I peek out from around that beef, let me tell you.
So all the stuff you're telling me, I'm like, should I stop and start focusing on that? I mean, this is all good stuff. This is great, interesting stuff.
I've gotten, and just like we talked about in the very beginning before anyone knew who I was, I'm going to talk about the very beginning of this show.
Okay.
It's fun now, and I get to do it because I don't have to. If I get disgusted with writing or I get disgusted with being on the radio every week, and which I don't see that happening because it's fun. As you know, I was in radio.
Yeah.
Or I just get disgusted with a travel app, or I get disgusted with whatever the heck I'm doing, I can walk away from it.
Yeah.
Back in D.C., I had to do it because I had to live.
That's one of the things I enjoy about this podcast. And, you know, how everything over as it evolves, you know, it kind of metamorphoses into something else. But always the first question is when I started doing the podcast is, how much money are you making doing podcasts? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't make any money.
Yeah.
Now, that's changed a little. We've started to kind of get a little bit more with advertising and stuff, but I didn't care. It's not about the money. You know, for me, this is fun. I love meeting people. You're my 81st podcast guest.
Oh, wow. 81. I have 81. To remember that.
And I love it. It's just so much fun. If we can figure out how to make a little money to maybe improve what we're doing, to reach out or maybe be a little bit of a tool for other people, that's great, but as soon as it starts to become a thing, it loses the fun.
Well, that's because you have to do it then.
Right. And
excuse me.
I like not having to do it. I mean, well, now we kind of have to do it because we started it and we're, you know, we're starting to get some
I mean, you make commitments
some A-list
to people.
Guests, yeah. Bob.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. There's an A81. I remember that. Okay. Well, sounds like a gate that we're leaving from at the airport. I don't know.
You're funny, too.
I make this stuff up.
So all the adventures, and now here you are sitting at the Rehoboth Social Podcast in the big giant studios here at the Thomas David Salon.
Yes, we call it the studio complex, high atop.
High atop
the salon.
Or down in the basement.
Yeah, one of the two.
But, so like I started off with, we got a lot of great restaurants here.
Yeah.
I mean, would you compare this to, like, because people always say to me, you guys got the best restaurants down there in Rehoboth. Do we have a lot of great restaurants, or is it just, is this how it is in every town?
I think we have no choice but to have great restaurants. And I'm gonna temper the word great.
Okay.
We have some good restaurants.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I get a lot of complaints, mostly from people who don't bother to sit down and read the website or read the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much 100% when I see this. You like a lot of places. Well, I don't. I have some rather negative reviews on RehobothFoodie.com that I wrote. But many of the places have to be good. You talked about Pilot Town.
Mm.
I knew it was going to go out of business.
Right.
There were flaws. There were major flaws, mainly involved in the ownership. And I knew that was not going to last. If a bad restaurant opens up or they don't do the proper service, and service is key down here, service. Food is important, but most anybody can make a good hamburger. But its service is an issue down here, and probably 80% of the commentary that I get from people and readers and listeners and whatever they are centers around service. If a restaurant isn't good, it's going to go out of business.
That's right.
And so a lot of times I won't bother with them.
Mm.
I just don't have time. There's almost 400 restaurants on RehobothFoodie.com.
Wow.
And I have to track all of them. Many of them I don't have to pay too much attention to. I know the Blue Moon is going to make a good dinner. I don't have to go every week. I know Back Porch is going to do a wonderful job. I know Hari Cameron is going to, his next special is going to be delicious.
Yeah.
But there are places that I try to go regularly to keep up. And So we do indeed have a lot of good restaurants staying down here, but I think a lot of it isn't as much because we deserve them or whatever is like that. That doesn't make any sense. It's a resort. They have to be good or they go out of business. If they can't draw local customers, local guests in the off season, unless they are independently wealthy, they will go out of business.
I had a guy, a client of mine, a hair client, said that he felt like there was a some sort of like communication between like the big restaurants that they were going to keep the prices up and they were
That's BS.
Well, I know that.
Don't believe that.
But what I told him is I told him that it's BS. Yeah. But yeah. The second thing I told him is, look at them.
They're charging me so much money. I'm a victim. Spare me.
Well, the second thing I told him was those restaurants really aren't for you in the summer.
No, they're not.
They're not for you. No. I mean, you can go there. They'll welcome you. But they're priced for people to visit. It's like when I go to Firefly or when we go up to New York or when we do something, you know, we spend a lot of money. And we're like, but that's kind of par for the course.
You pay for that's what you get.
Well, you pay for the event.
That's exactly right. If a restaurant, you go to Back Porch or you go to Blue Moon, you go to Muse, whatever. I was naming some of the better restaurants in town. They pay more for their food. They order food more often, so it is fresher. They have help that is mostly, we always hope, quote-unquote, professional. It's hard to find it down here. And you will pay more for that. It's like, well, should I buy a Mercedes or should I buy a fine-looking Chevrolet? They both pretty much do the same thing. One just is more fun than the other, and one is a different experience.
Right.
So I actually ended up having to write a column that basically came out and said, if you can't afford a restaurant, don't whine about how evil they are online. Just don't go. We have a lot of very good mid-price restaurants down here. Well, look at Summer House. Look at Salt Air. Look at Henlopen City Oyster House. Look at Cooter Brown's. The list goes on and on and on of good mid-price restaurants that serve a good dinner.
So is that a thumbs up for Cooter Brown?
I like Cooter Brown's.
Yeah,
it's an unusual menu. You got to go in there and be ready. I suggest drinking one of their Manhattans first.
Okay,
the one where he lights the orange on fire.
Oh,
so part of that drink is theater. What you're paying for with that drink is a little bit of theater and possibly being caught on fire.
Anytime there's fire, it's theater, right?
Well, have you ever had the coffee, the flaming coffee at Back Porch?
No.
They always joke about it. They say, that's our theater. You'd never order it during the day because, remember, it's an alcohol fire, so you can't see it in the sunlight.
Yeah.
But at night, it's very impressive.
Well, I don't drink. And the reason is because, when I was a kid, I decided I would try doing a flaming shot of 101, Southern Comfort 101 proof. And I'm the guy that lights his face on fire.
Oh, no. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
No, I didn't want to, but it happened.
Oh, no.
And I still drank after that. So that wasn't the reason, but that's the kind of shit that I'll end up doing. Yeah. So
afterwards, you probably had to. Quickly, a shot of bourbon and don't light it.
Yeah, don't light it. Well, Southern Comfort is a little different.
Southern Comfort.
Well, I know. And that was actually a question. Do we have a lot of mid-range restaurants? Because
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll have lunch a lot of times at Crooked Hammock. They have a great chicken salad. I love their chicken salad.
Okay.
I'm in and out of there for $8 or $9.
Okay.
You know, and it's a good sandwich. It's overstuffed, not unlike myself.
No.
And so there's a lot of places, and so it's just so funny that there's an element of entitlement around here. I always get corrected that it's everywhere.
The world.
I always get corrected that it's everywhere. And rightly so, it is. But, they're being mean if they're charging more than I can afford. No, you just can't afford it. And that's okay. I can't afford to have the corporate jet we talked about.
Right.
So I don't go around talking bad about people that have corporate jets. I just can't afford one.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think, eating out, this seems to be kind of the theme lately is, but, eating out used to be a privilege, just like all the things, flying, driving, working, it all used to be a privilege.
We used to dress up when I was little.
Yeah. I remember flying here to Delaware with my parents, and we dressed up, and it was a nice thing, and it was a privilege, it was special.
Yeah.
And eating out, we used to eat out, I grew up in Albuquerque, but
That's funny. I have relatives down there.
I love Albuquerque. Oh, I love
and that's going to something else funny. That's where I bought the 560 SL.
In Albuquerque?
Yes.
Yeah, because you wanted that. You wanted some dry air.
No, I just found the color I liked, and it happened to be. It couldn't have been any further away. It could have been in Korea for all it meant.
Well, you definitely. Have you ever been to Albuquerque?
I have been several times, but way back when I was young visiting my mother's relatives.
If you're ever going to buy a car, get one from New Mexico, Arizona. You know, it's very dry. You're not going to have a lot of rust and stuff.
Yeah, so. And there's none on that. And you're right. Being a 30-year-old car, you'd think, not a bit of rust.
Right. So, but, you know, going out to dinner, we used to go to a restaurant always comes to mind. It used to be called Paul's Monterey Inn. And it was a steak restaurant. And it was dark, tall red booths, you know, circular round leather, tall leather booths. And it was just a special night. And, you know, now it's just something we do. And we become entitled or whatever you want to say. And people that are like that can have a bit of an attitude, you know, and it even happens. I can get caught up in it, you know, like I've gone to some of our nicer restaurants, but I get like the hamburger because I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could, but it's like it just.
Yeah, but a restaurant like that is more than just the food. It's the experience. You go to Back Porch. We use them as an example. One of the things I love about it, and you pay for this, is you'll be sitting there talking and you'll set your fork down. And you'll turn and talk to whoever you're, and you'll look back, and there's a brand new fork sitting there. I like that.
Yeah.
Do I need that every day? Absolutely not. I can guarantee they will not replace my fork or crooked hammock.
Right.
It'll sit there until I'm done.
It's in a glass in the middle of the table.
It's in a glass in the middle, just like Cooter's.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what they do there as well?
No. You know who used to do that was Nate Leonard at 208 Social.
Yeah.
He had all the silverware in a glass in the middle of the table, so they didn't have to worry about doing roll-ups and everything.
Yeah,
he's gone now, but the restaurant's gone, but it was not because his food was not good. His food was very good, and he will be back.
Well, and when you talk about an experience, you know, Crooked Hammock, it's a nice experience going there. They do, you know, they do offer a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of, especially when you have kids. They have a lot of stuff for kids. They do a lot of music. They do a friend of mine's son. Both of her sons are in a band. They play a Crooked Hammock a lot. So they work with the community, you know, providing places for young people to play music. So
you're not talking about Hope for Success, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had them on my show 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And then they were so sweet. I was playing that night. And so they all got together and came to where we played. We were at Bethany Blues.
Yeah.
And they all came in and plopped down, and it was so much fun. These kids... And I had all seven of them in this studio. And my studio at Delmarva, I want to say Delmarva Broadcasting, been there for is Forever Media now, is not much bigger than this. It's maybe twice as big as this, but most of it's a big desk.
Right.
And all seven kids were in there, and we had a ball. And they played live for me in the studio.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I used to cut a couple of the kids' hair. You know, Drew, the older, I think he plays bass.
Mm-hmm.
He is in school with my son. They both go to Sussex Academy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I've known those kids for a long time, and, you know, I love it, you know, and you know, when you mention Crooked Hammock, you know, they play down there, and they'll give them a time that isn't so, you know, in the midst of all the hoopla, which I think is great. So, you know, it's a great example of a restaurant working with community.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in a quick plug.
Absolutely.
In 2 weeks, the 22nd, Sunday, there is a charity event in downtown Rehoboth Beach. Of course, many people will be listening to this after the fact, but, you know, it's life in the big city.
No, we'll post it. This will post next week.
Oh, okay, great. It's called Empty Bowls.
Okay.
And every year I've gotten sort of involved in helping them to promote, posting it on Rehoboth Foodie, using whatever resources I have. This year they went a step forward and they hired two bands. One of them is mine, second time around. We'll be playing first for about an hour and a half, 2 hours at the convention center. And then Hope for Success follows us.
Nice.
So I've been dealing with Kevin Short, who runs Mid-South Audio, who's doing all the sound for the event. And because it's a big stage there, so we can share it. We're only going to be three people. There's seven. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But so if anybody has nothing better to do and they want to help out one of our local food banks and help to feed the less fortunate, the Empty Bowls event is on the 22nd, and there'll be live music, live,
and that's
live,
Sunday.
And that is Sunday.
It's good to know because that's my brother's birthday.
Yeah, and so it'll be convention center, starts around noonish, goes to about 4-ish, 5-ish, and there'll be live music on the stage.
I have yet to be or yet to go into the new convention center. I know it's kind
of it's not new. It's exactly the same.
But they connected it somehow.
It's all tied into the Taj Mahal.
I haven't seen the connection. I haven't been over there yet, so that'll maybe be fun to go to and check all
that out. It's so funny. After all that effort and all that work, they left the inside the same.
The convention center?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's in the back.
It's in the back.
It's not on the front. So I wanted to talk, you know, and I thought, you know, like last night I was in bed, and then, you know, I always think about, you know, who's going to be on the show and things to talk about. But I always feel like, and I want to get your opinion, I feel like we have a pizza problem.
I need to hear more.
Well, we just don't have any good pizza.
But you see,
now,
pizza
wait a minute. I love Louise and I love Nicola's, so excluding them.
Actually, I had the last slice sold out of the window Saturday night last weekend at Nicola's. I walked out. I says, well, I have three left. And there were three of us who said, we'll each take one. They closed the window. I said, there's something prophetic about that, but I'm not sure. You know, pizza is like barbecue or ethnic foods. There are so exactly. Yeah. You know where I'm going. So people say to me, we don't have any good pizza around here. And I go, well, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. But there actually is some good pizza around here, depending on how you look at it. I love Lido's in Ocean City. But you have to have come from Maryland, or you don't get the Maryland brand recognition.
We just had this conversation because we were talking about Fork and Flask. And I was like, I liked it when it was Lido's.
Fork and Flask was never Lido's.
Yeah, it was. Oh, no. Did I pull one over on Bob?
No, you did not. Lido's was where Crust and Craft is. You
oh,
get
that's
your
what
Fork and
I'm
Flask
sorry.
And your Crust and Craft
I got my Crust and
up.
Craft. Oh, so I apologize, Bob.
That's all right. No, it was
fork
where
and
Crust
flask.
And Craft is.
Crust and Craft.
Yeah.
What's Fork and Flask? Oh, that's
Fork and Flask is the old Nage.
Okay.
Right next door to the Touch of Italy, where Jimmy's used to be but isn't anymore.
My bad.
No, that's all right.
Crust and Craft.
Aren't you glad you have me?
I am.
Put you on the straight and narrow?
I do. Absolutely. Because I will get yelled at about that.
Trust me.
Crust and Craft.
Crust and Craft.
I liked it when it was Lido's.
I loved it when it was Lido's. I'm a Lido's maniac. When I was in college, the original Lido's was about a mile from the University of Maryland College Park campus.
Square.
That's where I got my undergraduate degree. And my minor was radio and television. My major was pre-med. Crazy. And I should have seen then the trend.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times in that, you would work till 10, 11, 12 at night because only so many people could use the studios for their projects. So afterwards, we would be forced to go to Lido's and get maybe 19 pitchers of beer.
Yeah.
And those big square, well, actually rectangular pizzas.
It was delicious. And I mean, I love the way the size of the slice.
Yeah.
And you could just, my only problem with Lido's is I could eat like 9 or 10 pieces of that pizza.
Because it's very thin.
It's very thin, and they cut it in little squares.
Mm-hmm.
So I would feel like, well, maybe just 13. Just 13 pieces a night. That's it. So, and it was probably really maybe 3 big pieces of pizza.
Yeah.
But I just loved that pizza.
Do you go to the one in OC?
I don't.
They do a very good job. I will drive down there on a fairly regular basis to relive my college days, at least the culinary portion, if you want to use that word, of my college days, and go to. It's very well run. They're into it, and the pizzas are very, very much like what they used to be back in Adelphi in College Park.
Well, I was first introduced to Lido's in Easton, Maryland, because I was the assistant superintendent of Talbot Country Club.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I actually had I got a turf management degree from Rutgers.
Really?
Yeah, so I
did
that.
Well, see, I need to interview you now.
Well, hey, I'd love to come on your show.
Yeah, I just wrote a column about country club chefing, so, you know, we could have talked to you about that.
Well, this was golf course style. This is more golf growing grass, but that's when I met, or that's how I found out about Lido's. I always loved Lido's. Remember Wayback Burger?
I'm actually friends with the guy that he and his brother, his twin brother yet, who would have thought, owned the one in Rehoboth Beach.
Yeah.
And Bill Brown was his name. And now, interestingly enough, his store ended up closing. There were a lot of reasons for that.
I think part
of it was the signage. The Wayback store in Milford does great. You would think it would not have done as well. But he is now the head of training for the Wayback, for the Jake's operation.
Well, his girlfriend used to come here. I used to do her hair. So that's how I met when they first opened up.
He lived out here in Painter's
Mill.
Yeah,
he lived out here. So I was good friends with him. He was a great guy.
Super guy.
I love the food.
Yeah.
You know, I wish there was more of some of those kind of restaurants. You know, clearly we got our big restaurants, but like the Wayback Burger, the Lido's, just...
They need people to go to them. And the problem with that is in a resort, it's so weather dependent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it rains on a Saturday, nobody's happier than the restaurants.
Right.
They are slammed all day.
Right.
This is the reason why we don't run our Eating Rehoboth tours on Saturdays, because the greatest number of people are here on that day, and it just does not work. So we do them, you know, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
Nice.
But we skip Saturdays. And but it's a different animal. Having a restaurant in downtown Philadelphia or downtown D.C. or downtown New York City or whatever is a completely different thing than trying to manage the vagaries of income that come with resort restauranting.
Well, and I think that one thing about resort restauranting is that when you're down here, you're looking for something that catches your eye.
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize that, you know, Wayback is tucked over there by Giant.
I know.
You know, it's not really just that 3 feet depth into the parking
exactly
lot
right.
That's what killed it.
That's what killed it. And the food was good.
Food was great.
I mean, I'm a great fan of Five Guys, and I think Five Guys does an amazing job. Their hamburgers at Wayback were a little bit different, mm-hmm. but I think just as good in their own way. Well, one thing I loved about Wayback was the onion rings.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah. I could sit and just eat those things.
Yeah.
And but Five Guys is there with the big sign. Right on Rehoboth Avenue, there it is, giant letters. Wayback, the signage is just kind of weird in that little strip center. They're overshadowed by the bigger stores on either side, the Giant and Buffalo Wild Wings and all that. And it was kind of a sandwich. You never really looked
at the front of it.
No, you know, you're right.
Like, if you came out, like, you would, anytime I really would look at it was when I would come out of Giant.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really looking at the side of the
building.
You're
looking at the side. He didn't have a sign over there. He had stuff in the windows.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was only so much, you know, footage they could use for signs.
Do you know why they moved the Five Guys? Well, actually, I kind of remember now that I start talking about it. But remember they had Five Guys over there by the, Pat's is?
Yeah, there was unpleasantness with the franchisor.
Yeah, he didn't pay.
Well, see, I didn't want to go there unless you said it. It is your show. So,
it's my show.
Yeah.
He didn't pay. He got to go.
And so they took all of his properties, made them into O&O's, and took the Lewis store and closed it.
How can you screw up owning a Five Guys?
Because if you don't follow the agreement and the contract that you signed with the franchisor, who is giving you the support and the advertisement and the logo and the name and the brand recognition, which is most important.
Yep.
I believe that was part of the problem with the Lido's in Rehoboth Beach. Rehoboth is very much Baltimore, not as much Baltimore, but more Wilmington, Philadelphia centered. Nobody knew what Lido's was. I think one of the reasons why the Lido's does so well in OC is because it does have the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C., suburban Maryland, Prince George's County, Montgomery County people that go there. And they look and go, Lido's. Oh, my God. I remember that from when I went. And they go. You didn't get that up here. So the poor guy that opened it, super guy, local guy, Marty McDonald. He just, it just didn't draw. People looked at it and didn't know what it was.
I love Lido's. You know, the other one the other pizza place that I really enjoyed was the one that's over there that was just to the right around the corner from Staples. You know, you go along kind of where I think it's a Mattress Express now or something, but there was a little Italian pizza place there. Do you remember that one? Now, I think they're in Long Neck. I think they moved out to Long Neck. You remember?
No, I'm trying to think of. You're talking about Staples.
Husband and wife. Yeah, Staples. You know where Staples is?
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you were staring at Staples, it was to the right.
At it from across the street.
No, staring at it as far as just
to
parking.
The right.
It was over there to the right.
It was in the strip center.
Yep, it was in the strip center.
That wasn't a Bona Pizza.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Bona Pizza.
Yeah, and I think they did move to Long Neck. Is it Long Neck?
I think they moved to Long Neck.
I've had so many people. It's funny, when we first moved here, we had some construction work done on our house. And every one of the construction guys, all of whom were kind of fat, by the way, which I love. These are the people you want to trust.
The real people.
Let me tell you, man, Bona Pizza. And just one reason or another, I never made it, but I always wanted to try it.
You never, oh, well, we have to, you know, we'll have to go, we'll have to meet out
We'll have to have a business meeting out there.
Yes, a business meeting.
Yes, we can write the thing off. What the heck?
Do you want to do, would it be too inappropriate to do like a top five restaurants? Is that a...
When people ask me that question, I always ask if money is an object. If money is not an object, then it's easier to do it because I can just list things that I get the most positive feedback from and that I've had better experiences at, because that's the only place, that's the only way I can figure it out.
Let's do a top five of restaurants for the people. The regular average Joe... I'll tell you, I'll give you my top, let me give you my favorite.
Yeah, restaurant. I would love to hear it. Actually, you took the words out of my mouth. I said, you go first.
So my favorite restaurant, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts, is Confucius.
Very, very good.
And I'll tell you why. I love that it's family owned. I love that every time I go there, the wife always is there.
She's Danielle is delightful and beautiful.
Just
too.
Yeah, she's always smiling, humble. Always willing to make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
I love that restaurant.
Sean is a character.
Yeah.
Sean is a character. You want to catch him when they're busy so he doesn't have time to stop and talk at your table.
Oh, God.
Because he gets mad.
Well, he's never talked at my table. That's kind of...
Yeah, well, you got to be the Rehoboth foodie.
I got feelings.
You
got
to be the Rehoboth foodie.
Well,
he doesn't care.
There's only one room for one Rehoboth foodie.
Oh, God. I don't know about that.
And I'm letting you do that. I'm not messing with that. So, I love Confucius. I love the salt and pepper shrimp.
I don't believe you said that. Absolutely my favorite dish there. Right next to that are the Szechuan green beans.
Mm.
Man, I could just make a dinner and have made a dinner out of those two sides.
Well, Matt used to always say, yeah, just, you know, and he would, you know, I would talk to him. I think he'd have some shame in his voice. But he's like, I just ate three orders of salt and pepper shrimp from Confucius.
Yeah. You know what he's also got good? The salt and pepper calamari.
Yes.
Is good. And don't think of it as regular Italian calamari where it's cut into rings. He actually, God, I keep hitting your wire and that's blowing out people's subwoofers. I hope they're not using subwoofers. He takes the whole body, the carapace, they call it, that is normally cut into rings that you get like in Italian restaurants. Of course, he pulls the center bone out.
Right.
And that's what he... So you pick it up, and it's about the size, about half the size of a banana, a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
And you crunch into it, like, and the inside is crunchy, but he flours and spices the whole thing.
Nice.
And it's very interesting way of serving it. I've never seen calamari served like that other
just
than
rings.
Confucius.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is not in the rings.
I'll have
it's
to try that.
Whole, it's a whole body.
I'll have to try it. I just got a...
Salt and pepper calamari.
I just got a gift certificate for my birthday to go to Confucius.
Go.
But I get the...
What about the spicy cold noodles? Man.
My stomach's starting to ache.
They're my happy place.
They're that's my happy place.
They're my happy place.
Nah. Well, I do. I can't actually say I've had that yet, but I'm going to. So
you're
I'm going to take some of your recommendations because I'm going there, so I'm going to try some of these new things.
Try the Szechuan green beans. Do, of course, your salt and pepper. The cold, spicy noodles are good. They're a little spicy, so...
I like spice.
Good.
I am
so
New Mexican.
People. It's not spicy, is it? Get away from me.
Yeah.
I call them the spice wimps.
Yeah, go lay in the spice corner.
Yeah, go eat some lettuce, you know. Go. Let's go eat real food. And you know what? It's just so plain and boring and pedestrian, but I love the way he does it because he uses everything fresh, is his Kung Pao. Kung Pao chicken, Kung Pao shrimp, doesn't matter. If he's not busy, he'll mix them for you if he's not busy.
Right.
Don't go in and tell him I said.
If he's talking, he's walking.
If he's talking, he's walking.
Yeah.
And but the peanuts crackle in your mouth. A lot of restaurants, a lot of Chinese restaurants, many of them, especially the ones on the corner, let the food sit all day long in a hut, and they just dish it out and give it to you because it holds fairly well, and they keep adding water as everything evaporates. Not there. When you order the food, Sean chops the vegetables and throws everything in the wok. Have you ever been upstairs and seen his wok?
Mm-mm.
It's the size of a
small pool.
It's like a satellite dish.
Nice.
And there is this jet engine fire shooting up on the bottom of it. So everything cooks very quickly.
Yeah.
And he just stands there and runs this thing. It's a cool sight if you ever get a chance to see him work.
Well, I love the General Tso's chicken, and I love the shrimp fried rice.
Oh, yeah.
That shrimp fried rice is dangerous.
It's very, very good.
I mean, you could just eat that.
We order it, quote, unquote, on the side, which is code for we're going to take it about 3/4 of it home and having it tomorrow night for dinner.
Nice. Yeah. All right, my second favorite restaurant. I don't really have one.
So you only go to Confucius. Man's been eating Chinese food for years.
Well, I was going to say, what's Mariachi's?
Mariachi is a very good restaurant.
I like Mariachi's.
She's delightful. Yolanda Pineda. And she's actually one of the stops on our Eating Rehoboth tours. And she's so sweet. She comes out and opens her arms to everybody and says, "Mi casa es su casa."
Yeah.
You know, she's amazing.
Well, I love, you know, and I grew up in New Mexico, so I consider myself New Mexican. So yeah. I do love Mexican food, and I love, you know, I love seeing people's versions. Or, yeah,
but
you
she's
know.
Got more than that. Actually, her thing is Salvadorian food. Okay. That's really what she makes best. She always gets mad at me because I ordered the Plato Norteño, which is basically her one Tex-Mex offering, and she gets mad at me. She's, let me make you something else. You're supposed to be a food writer. What's, you order the same thing all the time, and then she switches into Spanish and yells at me, and I don't know what she's saying.
You leave with your head
held down low, yeah. Hanging my head in ignominy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you some of the pick hits there, Rehoboth Foodie pick hits. Get her tamales.
Mm-hmm.
She hand makes them, and get her pupusas. Ooh. All handmade, mostly to order.
What's a pupusa? Is that like a sopapilla?
It's a sopapilla is a deep fried bit of dough that puffs up, and then they put honey on the inside. I call it air with honey on it because that's what it is.
Yes.
But a pupusa is two small flour tortillas.
Okay.
That are stuffed. They put either beans or pork or whatever will go in there.
Kind of like an empanada.
Like an empanada, but an empanada is folded over like a turnover, and then deep fried.
Okay.
These are actually just cooked on the grill very quickly. The cheese melts. Everything gets warm inside. A pupusa meaning purse.
Right.
And if you were to pull it apart, you'd see the filling inside, and it's round. It's about 5 inches, 4 inches, about the size of a CD.
Okay.
Except it tastes better. and they're really good.
You're funny, Bob.
No, I'm not funny. I'm just.
I'm laughing. I love it.
This stuff. There's no filter. I have to get the filter adjusted.
Well, we're filter free podcast.
Thank you. You know, I'm so used to having a filter being on the air. Mm-hmm. I've made very clear to me what words I can say on the air. Of course, I immediately think of George Carlin.
Yeah.
That I can and cannot, and that's fine. It's their stations. They own 35 stations. They can do whatever they want to do.
Well, we don't care what you say.
That's nice.
I never mark if it's, you know, inappropriate language on the podcast. I just upload it.
All right. That sounds good.
So Mariachi's is great. And then, of course, I will say that I do like Matt's Fish Camp.
Oh, you can't go wrong there.
Well, the only problem with Matt's Fish Camp is that I remember when Matt opened it, and it was really his vision, and I'm...
I assume you're referring to Bethany.
I'm referring to Bethany.
Yeah, because he didn't open this one, as you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But when he opened it, it was like, you know, I just want a place where people can come off the beach, you know, get like a lobster roll, and you know. And when he first opened that menu, or when he first opened it, it had this kind of a cool little menu. Now, it's evolved. Things have changed. I think it was more, I thought, and I may be wrong, but I thought it was really a kind of a reasonable price place to stop in and grab a sandwich or a quick burger or something from off the beach. Now, evolution goes on, and...
Food prices go up.
Food prices go up. And I will tell you, I had perch. Like, I've never seen perch on a menu. I only think of perch just like...
I know, it's hard. Most people have flounder. Because it's like perch, but it's bigger.
So I ordered the perch. It was a special. And that's one thing I always try to do. I try to order off the specials because I just know that... I think it's in respect to the chef.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the perch, and I will tell you, it was phenomenal.
Really?
Have you ever had it?
I love perch. I make it at home all the time.
Wow. It was so good.
Yeah.
And so as far as just like, you know, ordering something that I have no clue what it's going to be, Matt's Fish Camp is one of those places I know that it's going to be really great.
Yeah. I remember when they first opened it, Matt, you know what it means to expo?
Expedite. Right.
You stand at the window.
Yep.
You're like standing between the chef and the customer.
Right.
Matt expoed by himself every day, day in and day out, for about a month, month and a half there. So you knew that when the dish appeared in front of you, it had been looked at by the owner.
You're talking about the one in Bethany.
I'm talking about the one in Bethany. Obviously, yeah. That didn't happen here because Matt was gone when they opened this one.
I saw him yell at some people.
Oh, he yells at a lot of people. Matt yelled a lot.
Yeah.
He wasn't the sweet, soft-spoken. You would yell a lot, too, if you owned 8 restaurants.
Well, and it's funny because I only knew Matt. I never worked for him. We were friends. And I would say my best friend. So we never had that, I never got yelled at. It was just
He had no need to yell at you.
Right. We just had a fun relationship. But then, after he passed away and having conversations, not everybody liked Matt.
No. Well, the thing is...
they may have respected him, but not everybody liked him.
Yeah, well, and a lot of the people who say that they didn't were people that screwed up in his restaurants, and he yelled at them, and it was probably well-deserved.
Yeah.
But we can go all the way back 360 degrees to the entitlement stuff we talked about earlier in this podcast. And how dare you yell at me just because I screwed up in your business?
How dare you?
And it's like, you know what? If you don't like being in the restaurant business, you don't want to be good, there's so many other things you can do.
Yeah.
And I've said this to servers sometimes who are rude. I say, you should quit and get a job you like.
Well,
because you're not happy.
And Matt used to say that the restaurant industry was the first industry that took him and loved him until he could learn to love himself.
Yeah.
And entitlement is really kind of a lack of love for oneself.
Exactly.
So
that's exactly, and that's how it comes out. Look at me, you have to treat me special because I'm not really all that special, but you have to treat me that way. And there's so much of that down here. But again, I get a finger, I'm shaking my finger back and forth. I get that, and they say, no, that's everywhere. You just see it more down here because there's fewer people.
Well,
I have to curb my enthusiasm.
That's very true. Unfortunately, we don't get out enough, right?
I'm out all the time.
Delaware.
Out of Delaware. No, and I don't want to, actually.
Right.
I'm tired of driving across that bridge, and I stopped doing it. Unfortunately, I'm going to be doing it the next few weeks because I have commitments back in D.C., but I'm fearing it.
All right, let me go to number 4. So we've done Confucius, Mariachi's, Matt's Fish Camp in Bethany, but both Matt's. I had the Perch here. I had the Perch in the new one. So both Matt's Fish Camps. And now my fifth... favorite place to eat? This is a good one because I have no clue. Well, you know what? I don't know. I'm stuck on 4.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know why? Because there's so many choices.
There's so many choices.
There are good restaurants around here. None of the restaurants, I mean, Confucius is a little pricey only because he buys fresh food and buys the highest quality food. And if you can't afford that, go to one of the little Chinese places in Lewis, you know?
Well, Confucius is definitely a no-kidder.
Yeah.
No kids go to Confucius.
No, it's way too echoey in there.
It's definitely, just out of respect to the other folks.
I can do this. I've done a lot of noise abatement in restaurants. I did Po' Boys. I did Naj. I did Touch of Italy and Gilligan's to quiet the place down. He won't do it. And I think it's because he wants people to hear the screaming children. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's not the children's fault. It's the parents, you know.
Absolutely.
The kids scream. It's what they do.
And you got to remember that, there's a lot of people, just because you bring your kids doesn't mean that they're here and are accepting of the fact that your kid's screaming, They're here on vacation. They don't want to put up with any shenanigans.
Yep, that's right.
I would say maybe Iron Hill. I like Iron Hill.
Iron Hill's good. I've had several disappointing meals there, but they were all smack dab in the off season.
Yeah.
And so I gave them a pass because they are a very successful chain and I like what they do. But I went a few weeks ago in the summer and everything was perfect.
Yeah.
So when Iron Hill is busy and the food is flying out of the kitchen, that's when you want to go there.
Right.
I also like the little place that just opened up behind there.
Chaps.
He is killing in there. Chaps. Always busy at an amazing price point. Blew me away.
I haven't been there yet.
You need to go. The food is good. It's all made for you. You walk in, there it is cooking on the grill right in front of your face. Nothing frozen.
Well, I did see they had like a little Weber barbecue out in front of the cooking. Like someone was cooking on it.
No, he does little special pairing dinners and things.
Oh, okay.
And so he'll cook. He actually, a lot of times, will bring the already cooked food and just keep it warm on the grill. But that's just for theater.
I need to ask him to come on the podcast.
He's a nice guy. Gary Desch is
Gary
his name.
Desch.
Gary and Chris Desch, two brothers.
Nice.
Both characters, real characters, funny guys. you would enjoy having them on your show. They've been on my show a couple times, and they had me laughing. I mean, I just stopped. A rare moment for me. I actually shut up for a minute and just laughed at these guys.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to check in with them. We're starting to kind of get, where people aren't so busy. You know, one of the problems.
They're hard to nail down. This was their very first restaurant. I think even they were taken aback at how much work it is. And you want to go, duh. You know,
I was surprised to find out that a lot of people park there to go to the outlets.
It's hard to understand why, because there's more parking at the outlets.
Well, there's a problem with that Nike outlet. That's the black hole over there.
The Nike outlet, that's the one up by Touch of Italy and all that?
Yeah, across from Iron Hill.
Oh, of course. Duh.
Duh, yeah. Bob. Well, it's just
I was
hard
thinking
to get
the
out
one
of.
That's next to Iron Hill. That's slightly north.
Outback?
Yeah, the one that has Chipotle in it and everything.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I do like Chipotle.
Yeah, that's why. So do I. It makes me sad, all the stuff that's being done to them or that they're doing, who the heck knows, in terms of sanitation issues.
It's such a small little operation. It's really not much to it, and they can't seem... Well, I haven't really heard anything about Chipotle lately, but I know a couple summers ago they were shutting down to talk to their employees about, sanitary stuff.
They have problems retaining help.
Yeah.
Usually that stems from the management. I do not know. That I do not keep track of the Chipotle. I loved it. We used to go 2-3 times a week.
Are you still eating there?
No, not for any purpose other than the fact that we don't. A few places have replaced that. We love Matt's Fish Camp. We go there a lot. I do like Chaps a lot. I like going there. So I eat out probably 5 nights a week. And so there's only so many places I can go.
You know what my biggest problem is, Bob, is that I've had to make some adjustments to my diet. I've just turned, I'm going to be 51. I'm starting to get a little older.
So tired of hanging around with children.
I know.
Talk to me.
And, there's at some point I was really struggling with eating and how I was feeling. So I had to kind of... I did a whole just supper program thing, and now, I'm eating a little bit more food, but I can make better food. That's my struggle. I mean, I can't buy a steak out. We buy all of our food at Fresh Market, a Giant too, but, if we're going to eat, meat or have a steak, I can't. We went to, the Italian restaurant down in Bethany where the singer's at?
At DeFebo's?
No. I forgot about DeFebo's. They're one of my favorites too.
Yeah,
they might have even been in the top five.
Yeah.
It's a steak Italian restaurant down 54 past.
Mia Fratello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We ate there.
It's just streaming on the internet. Visually, right?
No.
It used to happen on Bulldog Show, and I didn't know it for the first 6 months I was on the air there, and I'm doing all kinds of things, sticking my tongue out and complaining, and he says, people are watching.
Uh-oh.
I said, what part of radio? He says, they're watching.
Live stream.
I had to behave myself.
Well, listen, they're nice people, I guess. I don't know.
But who, Emil Fratello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the steak, the steak I got wasn't too great. So I guess my challenge is that it's hard for me to eat out. I can make a better. We make, I cook steaks. I make, organic green beans. Simple
food. Which brings
food.
Us back to the point.
Yes, bring me back.
That we got in the very beginning is it's not just about the food.
Right.
It's about the experience. I make better fried chicken than any place around here, and there's a lot of places that have good fried chicken around.
You've
here.
You've mentioned your fried chicken now. A couple
I make
times.
Good fried chicken, but if I can go out and get slightly less good fried chicken, but have it brought to me, and I don't have to screw around with it for 3 days, marinating it and brining it and
is that what goes
on
with your fried chicken?
Talking to it and patting it and making friends with it and all this kind of stuff, which I usually
breaking
do.
Breaking up with it?
Breaking up with
killing
it.
Killing it.
Getting back. If I can do that, then I will happily trade. But there are a few places. I mean, Matt always did fried chicken, but Matt came to my house for fried chicken. He loved my chicken. He'd call me up, when are you doing chicken? And I loved it.
That
it made me feel good.
You know what? That was one of the great things about him. My mom has a chicken enchilada recipe.
Ooh.
And we had it, and Matt was over and ate it, and he's like, I need this recipe. And you remember when he opened the, what was the Mexican place down there next
Papa
to the Rudder?
Papa Grande's.
No, was
oh,
it?
Oh, next to the Rudder.
Yeah.
He actually didn't own that. He helped them open it, Que Pasa.
Well, he put it on the menu.
Yeah.
And you should have seen my mom. She was just beside herself.
That's neat.
You know, when Matt would do stuff like that, you know, invite you over or invite himself over for your chicken, you know.
Yeah.
That's just.
I loved it. What'd he do? He'd sit out in front of the house. I shouldn't say this, but it was so funny. And he'd be on his motorcycle. And he'd rev the motorcycle. Well, of course, it shook the whole house. The windows are shaking. I go, Matt's here. And he'd be smiling. And I go, Friday night, you're in. He says, I'll get back. It was always, I'll get back to you. Because he never knew. His life wasn't his own. You know,
right.
He was owned by those restaurants. But it was always fun. He wouldn't call. And of course, he never emailed or anything like that. Very rarely. But he'd rev the motorcycle. And it was so funny.
You know, it's funny because, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I mean, the key spot to have a restaurant would be down in Rehoboth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had Scott Cameron on, and he was telling me, you know, a lot of these places now downtown don't check off enough boxes in their list of boxes that they check off when deciding mm-hmm. to open a restaurant.
Right.
I had talked to him about why Papa Grande's closed down. He said, you know, a lot of the boxes just didn't check off initially, but we want, you know, Matt loved it. Matt wanted it open. You know, you can see like the new Blue Coast. He's like a lot of boxes checked off when we went into yeah,
pretty much every box was checked
well,
off.
Well, now Thompson Island Brewing Company, that checked off a lot of boxes.
It's gonna be the same thing, man. And you know they seat 250 too.
Yeah, they're
also just like Blue Coast. I mean, that's a commitment.
Yeah,
that's a lot of people.
Well, and I love how they turn the build. I love how they turn the door.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
It's Scott's idea. Scott's got a head for this sort. He's the one that laid out Blue Coast.
I know.
He laid out Blue Coast because I had him and the guy who owns Broadpoint Construction on mm-hmm. the show, and John Schneider. And he said to me, I'm telling you, he says, it was scribbled out on a napkin. He said, well, of course, we had to have architects make it into a real drawing. But he said, Scott said, well, it should turn sideways on this, that. Scott's got a good sense for these things.
Well,
this is a smart guy.
Well, like my salon. My salon faces north, I guess, northeast.
I would say northeast, yeah.
And the sun comes up and gives us a little kiss of sun in the morning
mm-hmm.
and then just crosses over the top, and we're not bathed in sun all day.
Yeah.
Where if you're facing the wrong direction and that sun is beaming into the restaurant, it's a total distraction.
Yeah.
It's like the third person. It's like... Yeah. It's annoying. So I like how he just turned that one door.
Because yeah.
it's almost setting one way, but then the entry is just turned 45 mm-hmm. degrees.
Yeah.
It's very, very...
And it makes it visually interesting. And again, back again to what is rapidly becoming the theme of this podcast, is it's all about the experience. You talk mm-hmm. about checking off boxes. I very much like that metaphor.
Yeah.
Because it's not just... There's a lot of places around here you can get a good hamburger.
Right.
But there's only certain places I will go because of... It could just even be a smiling server who I like, you know, who makes the experience fun. She'll come up and make jokes and tease around. It's part of what you pay for.
Remember the what is the restaurant in Lewis where the lady used to sing, "When the moon hits the sky."
Villa Sorrento. She still does. She will burst into. I almost said she will burst into flames. She will burst into song at the slightest provocation.
Don't make eye contact.
No. Well, let me tell you a funny story.
We were watching Les Miserables concert last night on PBS, and look down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't look at her because she'll start singing.
She'll start singing. Let me tell you a funny story. We were in there one time, and I like it. Mara DePace.
The food is amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
But, she's delightful.
You know, it can make you feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, you just got to get over it. You know, it's what people do.
Right.
We were in there one night, and it was a very busy night. And there was a very, very, very old lady at one of the tables. She must have been about 300. And it was apparently her birthday. And words were said, things were planned, and Mara came out with a little cupcake or a cannoli or something. I don't know whether you can put a candle in a cannoli. And she knelt down at the table, so her head was even with the table, and started to sing to the lady very softly in Italian. In about 30 seconds, the entire restaurant, which was packed, was completely silent.
Yeah.
And all you could hear, and the old lady sat there and listened, and Mara sung to her very softly for about 3-4 minutes, and people were taken aback. And everybody stood up and clapped afterwards because it was obviously the lady's 100th birthday or 300th birthday. And Mara made a big deal about it. But instead of coming out like they do at mariachi with the hats and the guitars, she started to sing very softly.
Kept it subtle.
Blew everybody away. I don't think I've seen many more moving experiences in a restaurant than that.
Well, I always, you know, whenever she sings, I think, oh, my Lord. But, you know, inside I go, you know, good for her. Because it's nice when
people come
see,
in for it.
Yeah.
It's what she sells.
You put the embarrassment or put the anxiety or whatever it may create. Most
the embarrassment
people,
about you because she doesn't care.
Right.
She's not focusing on you.
And, you know, I forgot that they actually have amazing pizza. I just remembered that.
She has a good, I love her chopped salad.
Oh, yeah.
And the linguine with clams.
Well, she also does a rolled Parmesan. Like, she takes sliced Parmesan, breaded, and then puts sauce and then rolls it with mozzarella cheese.
Do you don't mean Parmesan. You mean veal or chicken?
No, she did it with Parmesan. Not with
prosciutto.
No, with eggplant.
Eggplant, yeah.
You know, they're called eggplant roll-ups or something like that.
Yeah, eggplant rollatini.
Rollatini.
It's a standard. It's like braciole, except it's not meat.
Hey, you know, last night we had, every week I try to cook my parents' dinner.
Oh, neat. Oh, neat.
And they're about 300.
Oh, my God, I'm having a bad influence on you.
But we went over there last night. We made them spaghetti and Italian sausage and meatballs. Ooh. And my mother-in-law, she brought her Parmesan, a block of cheese in her purse.
Oh, in her purse,
yeah, that's very important. And,
that's funny.
I love Italian food because you know you can make a great meal, relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
So and feed a lot of people, and it really brings. It was a great day. Football, spaghetti, you know, taking care of my parents. In-laws.
Do they live here?
Yeah, they live over in Kings Creek.
Oh, okay. Oh, right near where I live, right around the corner.
Yep. They used to live. You live in the old. New Rehoboth Beach.
The old RBYCC.
Yeah.
Yeah. POA we call it, but nobody knows it.
I think
that.
You live across the canal from Uncle Mike. Do you know Uncle Mike?
Uncle Mike.
Mike Arcino, my uncle.
You know, it's funny. I have seen the name involved in there, and actually, I got you and he mixed up for a while because.
Well,
he
owned Surfside Grill.
Yes.
And,
yes. The one on the boardwalk.
Yep.
Yeah.
The last place to eat before you went to, I think, maybe Poodle Beach.
Yeah.
He's a character.
It was right. It was between Star of the Sea and that strip center that's north. It was right in that little area there.
With the putt-putt on the roof.
With the putt-putt on the roof. Yeah. I love it.
We went to a birthday party, or my daughter went to a birthday party, and the guy I was talking to was like, yeah, I worked for your uncle. I think every 35, 40-year-old guy in this town probably, or guy or girl, probably at some point worked for Uncle Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like Chip
Grill.
Hearn. You the part of the rite of passage
or
is
Lions.
To have worked for Lions or worked for Chip Hearn. You know, or a Monty Montgomery.
Yeah.
Starboard. He only has 5,000 people working for him.
Yeah.
You know.
He has Starboard, right? Monty.
He owns Starboard.
Yeah.
99 Sea Level, Bethany Blues, Starboard Raw. The guy knows his stuff. Grew up in Dewey. He used to rent umbrellas when he was 12 years old.
Do you feel like Rehoboth is not forcing, but, you know, they're making a lot of changes. I see they're wanting to extend the parking meters again. And do you think it's hard for, like, a small restaurant, a beginning restaurant, to get started in Rehoboth?
And just watch them go out of business.
Yeah.
Look at the revolving doors on First Street.
Right.
Of those two little spaces. Very rarely does anything last there. And I don't want to say anything about the people that are in there now. I'm not going to say their names because maybe they'll do well. But they've made it too difficult to have a restaurant downtown. It's almost impossible to build there. And I think a lot of times they do it just because they can.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's very bad. And I think they lose sight of where the money comes from. It comes from the businesses being there.
Right.
And why do you, this proliferation of restaurants on the highway, I think is evidence of that.
Well, and
when the chips are down, people would rather go to Touch of Italy or Bethany Blues or Nage or Iron Hill, like you mentioned, or one of these places where they can get parking. And I don't complain about the parking. I will pay the money to park downtown. Yeah. I don't live in town. I live right outside of town, in just like I told you. And so I consider it my city tax. Yeah. That's my city tax for them to keep things clean and make it good, and I'm happy to do it. But I think things are a little out of control. My friend who just opened Ross, the new Indian fusion, it's not really Indian, it's really more Thai, Asian fusion, in Lewis experienced the same thing. It took them a year to build. Much of that was because of constant issues with the city.
So, but they opened it, right?
They opened it after a year.
Not in Lewis, it's in Rehoboth.
It's in Lewis. You're thinking of Indigo.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, Indigo is a wonderful restaurant, but it's more actual authentic Indian food. Right. I mean, it's authentic Indian food. You get with all the stuff you see, you get. Plus, they have a big menu. Ross is a different kind of thing. It's a lot glitzier. It's right actually in between Heirloom and what used to be the Buttery, which is now the Second Street Tavern.
Okay.
And it's kind of an Asian fusion with an Indian accent. It's a good restaurant. I love Indigo. I very, very much love it. I like just the standard getting down. It's spicy. And if you like spice, and you can always ask for it spicier. Mm. Don't make the mistake I made, though. He came up, he said, you want it one hot or 10 hot? And I said 15, being a smart ass that I am.
My dad did that.
I almost lived to regret it. And, of course, it's a guy thing at that point. You have to eat it.
Right.
You can't, this is spicy, will you take this back? You can't do that.
No.
So I sat there and I ate it. I was hearing buzzing in my head. I think I saw God. I was seeing old Dick Van Dyke reruns in my eyes.
You slid into another dimension.
I slid into another dimension, but I ate that food. I thought I was going to die.
My dad did the same thing at Confucius.
Yeah, okay. And he was sweating. He will burn you.
Yeah, he was sweating.
Yep, and Sean is trained. When I come in, he'll send a dish down, and I'll look at it, and it'll be tofu or chicken or shrimp or something covered in hot peppers. Mm. Well, I just love it, man. I can just eat it all day. And I'm sweating. It's running down my face like a big pig.
So what do you think? I mean, what do you think the future is for Rehoboth and restaurants? Because I will tell you, I talked to a guy when we went down there last Christmas. And this, he didn't have a restaurant. He had a retail place. I walked down in Rehoboth. We had some extra money to spend for Christmas at the time. And I said, you know, let's just walk around. I went into four different places in Rehoboth. Nobody said hi to me. They all seemed miserable.
Was this in August?
No, it was in December.
December. Wow, that's scary.
So
they should be doing their best.
I walked into one place. This guy said, hey, good morning. I said, you know what? I'm buying something here because first of all, he said good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
To greet. We bought
Very
something.
It's the experience. It's like we're saying.
Well, it's a hustle, man.
Yeah, of course it is. It's theater. It's a theater and it's a hustle.
Yeah, and if you can't say hi, you're not hustling.
Yeah.
But he closed down. He said his rent was like $6,000 a month.
That was low.
Maybe it was 11. I don't even know, but it was a lot. And he had to close down.
My friend that has the Indian restaurant, I'm not going to talk about exact numbers.
Okay.
But it's dangerously close to $90,000 a year.
Wow.
That's a lot of lamb vindaloo.
Yeah, I mean, then that's the next question. How do they do it?
They do it by having good service, by advertising properly. Several restaurants in town, and I'm not going to name any names because most of them have become friends, have gone out of business because they chose to not advertise.
Right.
People will come because I'm a good chef. This was said to me by a guy who is indeed a good chef. I said to him, you aren't in downtown Philadelphia. You are not Jose Garces.
Right.
You know, you need to let people know that you are, because people have too many choices. So I'm the best chef. People will come, not unless they know. Because when people go downtown and invest $10 to $12 or $13 to park, and invest having to walk two or three blocks, which is not a bad thing. You're at the beach. That's what you do.
Right.
They are going to want to make sure that whatever they do is something they know and something they're familiar with.
Right.
And the only way to make that happen is to let people know you're there. And my friend, the chef, who, again, I will not name because I like him very much. No, I don't. He proudly told me he doesn't advertise. And now there's a big for rent sign on the front of the building.
Arrogant.
Yeah. Rules. And by the way, an excellent chef and a super guy. Yeah, you're back, I think.
I think I faded out for a second there.
Well, you know what? It could have been that connector you were playing with.
Well, and there's, you know, and that's kind of what I was thinking about this when while you were talking. It's like we're going into a time in our lives where you just can't go on reputation. You know, it's about live, you know, being on live, Facebook Live, Instagram, social media.
Yeah.
Always posting stuff out there. You know, the Rehoboth Beach Country Club has always struggled with a chef. And I made an app, and I was like, you know, why don't you have a social app for this country club? You know, give some of these people like your chef, you know, some value. Let them post stuff.
Did they ever do it?
No.
Of course not.
No, they didn't. And they'll just drop a chef like no problem.
I know. I'm amazed at the. And we have a connection with them. They're very, very generous to Meals on Wheels, Lewis Rehoboth, and I sit on the board for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so generous and so nice, and we love it. And the last three chefs that they've gotten, all of whom have been good, I've interviewed on my show. I've had them on the show talk about Country Club, this and that, all the weird things. And then all of a sudden, they're gone.
They get fired.
And I'm not sure what the reasoning is, and I'm not going to make the assumption that there is any reasoning.
Well, the reasoning is because they have a membership,
mm-hmm.
and they're special.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping you would say that.
Well, my parents are members of
it. Because I don't want to say anything bad about it.
They're
so generous to us, you know.
I just thought it'd be great to try to create some value for some of these chefs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when... I mean, 20 years ago, you could probably get by with just being an amazing chef, but we're in a new kind of time. Mm-hmm. And
well, Food Network has made us more aware of that. People want to know. I mean, one of the things that I get all the time when I write on Foodie and everything is where a chef is cooking. Well, so-and-so isn't there anymore. Where is he? And you wouldn't believe the people that want to know that. It kind of surprised me. And so... nobody cared about that 17 years ago when I started.
But you also have to be the kind of chef that, you know, because you see this out in California, you see it all over the place. You see these people that follow these food trucks or these chefs on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they'll, you know, especially food trucks, you know, hey, we're going to be down in, you know, Santa Monica, or we're going to be down here. And, you know, the people traditionally follow them. And then, you know, if a chef is like that and really posts stuff on a social media like a Twitter or, mm-hmm. or Instagram and has a following like that, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's another, you know, you have your day and then you got to do that.
Yeah.
And I've learned that just starting doing this podcast, you know, you want to try to build up a following. So we do a podcast and I have to share it. And I have to ask the people to share it. Say, please, if you do the podcast with us, just share it. You know, so it's like a whole other thing. And the worst part about it is there's not really a lot of control. You know, I just got to let it, I just do it and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. You know, where I know if I show up or if I'm, you know, making food or something, I'm right there. I know it's going to be good. But then you have to let the, you know, the rest go and hope for the best.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough gig out there.
Very, very different. Very different than it used to be. And I think that we started this line of thought, this arc, as we'll say in the business.
Yes.
Talking about whether we feel that downtown restaurants are at a slight disadvantage. And I think indeed they are. Not only the parking, which I'm not complaining about. I will happily pay. But a lot of people, of course, feel personally offended when they have to spend $10 to park. Give me a break. But a lot of times the problem is, and I strongly believe in enforcing laws to keep people from driving drunk. But I think sometimes there's a little bit of overboardedness in downtown Rehoboth, and people don't want to go down there to restaurants and drink.
Remember Tijuana Taxi?
I very clearly remember.
Yeah,
that.
I feel like that was their success.
Couldn't have been the food. Man.
No. And people used to say, oh, Tijuana Taxi was so good. And
it was the Margs.
I kind of get, you know, and I'm not, you know, agave's kind of falls a little bit like that, you know, oh, agave's so good. I go, well, is it the food's good or are there margaritas?
Because it's the margarita and the experience. Right. It is an upbeat, fun, glitzy, noisy place. Where else in Lewis did you get that, especially back then? Now we have it a little bit at Crooked Hammock and everything, but back in the beginning, they were only game in town.
Yep,
and they did it well.
And people swore their food was great.
I mean, it's definitely good. I don't know whether I would use the word great, but it's definitely good. I mean, they have possibly some of the best guacamole around.
Mine's better.
Yeah. Have you ever had the guacamole at Zoca? Mm-hmm. In Daniel Somoza's new place in Bethany Beach. He owns Harvest. There go the subwoofers. Somebody, that just right. blew off. He owns Harvest Tide in Lewis.
I've never been.
You need to go.
I do.
Steakhouse. And he has one of the few steakhouses that I know of that has Wagyu beef as a regular menu item.
Oh, you're talking about over there by the Lewis...
Drawbridge.
Yes, yes.
Wheelhouse. Why do I want to call it the warehouse? But anyway, he just opened a place, a Mexican-oriented place, where the old grotto, not old grotto, where a new grotto that never had a chance to get old, opened up in downtown Bethany.
Hmm.
There were three grottos in Bethany. It's too much. So they still have two, and they both do well. But he opened there. He's got good guac because they make it to order. You literally can see them go back there and be smashing it with a potato masher or whatever they use. And that's the only way to make guac.
Yeah.
And I think Agave does a wonderful job with their guac.
They do. Yeah. I won't wait that long for.
So you'll be
dinner.
Bringing guac over to my house when?
Do you like guac? I'll make you some guac.
I'm a guac maniac.
But my guac.
I'm an everything maniac.
Listen, my guac's very simple. Salt and pepper and a little bit of garlic salt. That's it.
So no onions, no tomatoes?
Nope. And maybe a little bit of lime or lemon, one of the two.
Do you stay chunky?
You know, I prepare the avocado, I put it all in a bowl, and then I slide it over to my wife, and that's her job. She mashes it. So whatever
but
works
you don't
for
put
her.
It in a food processor, please tell me no.
No.
Okay, good.
I'm New Mexican, Bob.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, so you've been to, and we're at an hour and a half, so we're gonna cut it down. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think of some of the restaurants out in Albuquerque?
You know what? But when I was there, I told you we took a train with my mother, me and my sister. I was extremely young, and I do not remember any of that, and I haven't been back since. I got kind of familiar with it when I was buying the car because I got to know the guy that worked at the dealership,
mm-hmm.
and I got to know him, and we got to talk about food, this and that, back and forth. But I would love to. I have friends that tell me that El Paso's the same way, and San Antonio's the same way.
No, that's Tex-Mex.
It's Tex-Mex, and that's not a bad thing.
But, you know, you need to try. I'll give you a list of don't worry about that. I'll give you a list of restaurants to try out in Albuquerque. Will you ever go back?
I probably will. It's hard for me to get away now, and here I'm supposed to be retired and do what I want to do. The commitments I've made are commitments I have to follow through
on. The last 2 weeks of September are the time to go, and then the third and fourth week of October. Great time. The two first weeks of October is when the Balloon Fiesta starts.
Oh, really?
And you can't get a room or a car. So unless you plan it years in advance, the 2 weeks before that and the 2 weeks after are amazing. And take 4 days, go to the mountains, go to Santa Fe. I love Santa Fe. They have that courtyard, and you can just, on every corner of the courtyard is a food cart.
Yeah,
that's tamales.
You know. I watch Breaking Bad. Does that count?
As long as you're not doing meth.
Thank you. Okay.
So
it
good.
Was great. Remember some of the establishing shots, though, that they did down there?
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like I got to know Albuquerque because of that, because those shots were shot there.
Well, it takes, if I see one shot of the skyline in Albuquerque, right away I know it's New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Because just the height and the vastness. You know, Albuquerque is one of those places where you're always like, I wonder what's going on over there.
Yeah.
You know, because you're either at the base of the mountains or at the top of the valley.
Yeah.
And then the plateaus. So it's
I
always.
I need to go.
Oh,
I
my
need
gosh.
To go. I so want to go.
My wife's supposed to be figuring out when we can leave because we're going. I want to buy an apartment in New Mexico on Route 66 downtown Albuquerque.
Wow.
And just have that as my.
If you need a food consultant.
My second home when I fly the. Yeah. the
Your
the pied
de terre.
Yes. We'll be living in a one bedroom. But you know what? It's beautiful out there.
Yeah.
Hey. Hour and a half. You're so far my longest guest.
It's too long.
It's too long. We went too far.
We went too far.
We did.
I had fun, but we went too far.
Too far.
Yeah.
Well, I should have kept an eye on the meter.
Thank you for having me on this, and I appreciate your calling. I appreciate. I've heard so much about you.
Well, I hope you'll
and
come back.
It's nice to get to know you.
Because what I love about you is it's not. We don't just have to talk about food. You are multifaceted.
Oh, we could have talked about sound. We could have talked about music. We could have talked about whatever. We could have talked about radio. We could have talked about, you know.
Well,
I get myself involved in all kinds of crazy stuff.
I hope you don't get upset if I send you text in the middle of the night going, oh, my God, now what do I do, Bob? Because, you know, this is all new to me. I'm a hairdresser.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hey, I always say to anybody that comes on, thank you, because I appreciate you. I know you're a busy guy. You got a lot going on. So spending an hour and a half with me here at the Thomas David Salon, I appreciate it. And I do hope you'll come back. And maybe I can come on your show. I'd love to.
I would like that. Well, I got to think of a food angle, but I think talking about Albuquerque.
Absolutely.
We could definitely fill an hour.
Oh, yeah. And I've got green chilies being from Hatch, New Mexico on the way right now. So I'll bring you some.
Will you do, really?
Yeah, and we'll roast them.
And also, in order to get into the building over at Forever Media, you'll need to bring guac.
Okay. I'll bring you guacamole and fresh.
I'm lying to you. I'm lying. This is bald-faced lie.
But this is very true, though, because you want that damn guacamole.
I want the guac.
Well, and I'll bring you some Hatch green chilies.
Oh, man, I would love that. I'm a chili maniac. I have several friends around here that grow them, and they're so generous. And so they either bring them by the Cape Gazette when I'm working there, or they drop them off at the radio station, and it's like, oh, it's a whole bag full.
Rehoboth Foodie?
Yes.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for spending some time with me, bud.
My pleasure, David.
All right, bub. See ya.